I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I'm a big believer in putting boots on the ground, not necessarily into Iran, but taking Karg Island and also taking the Strait of Hormuz. Look, we kind of need to do it the way the Romans used to do it. You need to put your legions on the ground to secure the territory and give them confidence that they can do it, that we can open up the Strait. Look, I know there's risk involved. There's always risk involved, but those kids, those young men and women, they understand the risk involved on taking both Karg and opening up the Strait of Hormuz as well. So they've got the ability to do it, the amphibious ready groups of the Marines. They can open up the lower half of the Strait, do it. And then I to turn around to maybe the 82nd Airborne Division or Rangers or somebody like that to take Karg Island.
That is Lieutenant General Kellogg, retired, talking about boots on the ground, not directly in Iran. I cannot specify that enough, because I want to re-emphasize to you, I'm not in favor of boots on the ground inside Iran. What he's talking about are some of the islands that are just offshore where a lot of oil shipments are involved. If we're going to have a limited engagement in and out and hit particular targets, and sometimes you do need boots on the ground to do it, then not knowing all the particulars, nor should I, nor should you, but trusting our intel and our commander-in-chief and our secretary of war, then maybe that would be the thing to do. I say maybe. In the meantime, we've got more Republicans getting weak-kneed about doing anything with Iran. Then maybe we pushed too far. Well, to that point, I will again stand firm. You cannot push hard enough against Iran. You can't say, well, they won't have a weapon, quote, an imminent threat capability. If they're working on it and you allow them to continue working on it, they will have one. And you won't be able to get the words imminent threat out of your mouth before you're vaporized. Welcome to hour number one, Larry Connors, USA, March 24, 2026. We're here for you every Monday through Friday. And when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. You go to Newstalk STL Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter, or Larry Connors, USA Rumble. And everything goes up as a podcast later, available at Newstalk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, and Larry Connors USA Facebook. And I remind you, with Larry Connors USA every day, and every hour, we're going to provide you news, analysis, opinion, and education. You're going to leave each hour with more information than you have right now. I promise you. You want to test me? Listen to the hour and see what you learn at the end of the hour. In our next hour, New York Governor Hochul, remember when she told Trump, just go the hell to Florida, go. We don't want you and your kind anymore. You're not good. You don't have our values. To that point, she's right. Trump does not have Governor Hochul and the Blue Libs philosophy and values. But she made that such a declaration, not just to Trump, but all the other MAGA CEOs, businesses, and they took her advice. They left, and now she is begging them, come back, come back. She made the mess, and now she's living in it, along with the New York City Mayor Mondami. Later in this hour, we're going to break down the LaGuardia crash incident, where a jetliner is coming into land and an emergency fire truck is given permission to cross the very runway where the jet is arriving. How did that happen? We'll break it down to the best of our knowledge for you coming up. And our story behind the story, the 2009 massacre on a U.S. military base in Texas. Fort Hood. And yet, the Obama administration insisted, don't call this a terrorist action, even though clearly the man that carried it out was practicing Muslim religion, actually Islamist religion, and actually made himself a martyr, a jihadist. And there are more parts of that story that still have not been resolved. You're on a military base, and the only weapons on the base are being held by military police, and if civilian police are rushing into the scene. These are soldiers. They're trained to use a weapon, and yet they're not provided a weapon. Now, if they're in a war zone, obviously they will be given a weapon. But on that day, Fort Hood turned into a war zone, and they had no weapons. Our story behind the story coming up later of what happened at Fort Hood in 2009. Now back to dealing with Iran. And of course, Trump has made it clear we're going to try to give them a chance to continue to bring talks to a peace table if they want to. But in the meantime, the military action, not by the U.S., but Israel and Tehran, continue. Trey Yingst.
Efforts play out. The Iranians are continuing their attacks against Israel, launching a number of ballistic missile barrages against this country overnight. One of those missiles early this morning slammed into the heart of Tel Aviv. You can see here in this aftermath video, black smoke was rising from the horizon. We just returned from this scene where first responders were removing debris and rubble. This was a direct impact, according to police, and there was a 220-pound warhead on top of the missile that caused the damage that you see here. There were some interceptions overnight across central Israel as Israel's advanced air defense system worked to shoot down the incoming fire. The Israelis and the Americans are striking back, hitting the heart of the regime in Tehran and other locations, going after many of the storage facilities for these ballistic missiles. You can see in some of this video over the weekend that was released by U.S. Central Command. All of this coming as President Trump says those diplomatic efforts are playing out, and he's giving the Iranian regime 5 days to come to terms for a deal. Take a listen.
We're giving it 5 days, and then we're going to see where that takes us. And I would say at the end of this period, I think it could very well end up being a very good deal for everybody. As good as if we went all the way and just literally annihilated the place, which if we don't have to do that, that would be a good thing, not a bad thing.
Do you hear what Trump is saying? We don't want to annihilate the country of Iran and the people in it. We do want the leadership to cease developing nuclear weapons and their ballistic missiles, which we pointed out yesterday. They now have the ability to reach something like 2,500 miles. That means every European capital is under the threat of an Iranian missile if they choose to do so. That would also include Moscow. I don't think they're stupid enough to hit Moscow, but Britain, Oslo, Germany, all of those, Berlin, they're in the range now. And yes, some action is beginning to continue, firing back and forth because we have to protect our troops and those in the region. And that includes some of the Gulf state nations. They've got to continue to fire back at Iran, and so does Israel. Brian Kilmeade points out what's at stake dealing with Iran just offshore.
Some of the key islands, you hear a lot about Karg Island, but there's also Kish Island and Hormuz Island, all contain various different, Iranian units. And here's roughly what's in there and what the Iranians seem to have assembled. They got rocket launchers on these islands. They got some submarines there. They got to be destroyed, obviously. Unmanned surface vehicles, heavily armed speedboats. They got to be destroyed. They're the ones causing so much havoc and potential havoc that keeps the Strait of Hormuz pretty much closed. And this is essentially what Kish Island would do if we had control of that, and would put us in the catbird seat to be able to maybe reopen that strait once and for all.
And make sure it stays open. that might well involve the boots on the ground that you were hearing earlier. Lieutenant Kellogg, General Kellogg, emphasizes a possibility. We've got something like 5,000 Marines ready for an amphibious assault across the region right now. But I want to again stress, I would rather not have to do that. But we cannot continue to let them block the Strait of Hormuz. 10% of all the world's production comes through there, and something like 80% goes to China. So China really should want it open as well. And yet they continue to help Iran. General King.
Hassan was commissioned as an officer in the Army Medical...
Sorry about that. We'll come back to General King here in a moment. He's talking about the islands and what we need to be doing with Iran. Because Iran, of course, is the key issue. And dealing with Iran might have to involve more than we'd actually like to. And that is, again, not necessarily putting boots on the ground, but making sure the message is delivered loud and clear.
Negotiations. What took place over the weekend is the foreign minister of Saudi Arabia hosted a get-together with the foreign ministers of Egypt, Turkey, and Pakistan, and they concluded that it is worth a try here to work a deal between the Americans and certainly Iran. And that overture to the United States took place after an overture also to Iran, explaining there was a possibility. And then intermediary talks began, not directly with the United States and Iran, but indirectly through intermediaries. And that is why two things are true here. We're saying we're negotiating with Iran, and we are, through intermediaries. And Iran is saying they're not negotiating with us. Well, they're not. They're going through intermediaries. But the reality is, the president, I think, is trying to accomplish with this diplomacy the goals that he's attempting to achieve and would achieve through military operations. To remind our audience, there is no doubt in the minds of the military commanders of the IDF and the military commander, Admiral Bradley Cooper, of the Central Command, our military forces that are doing the striking against Iran, that we would accomplish these military goals, to include opening of the Straits of Hormuz. We would force that opening and keep it opening. What's taking place here is, can, through diplomacy, can we accomplish the same end states that we're attempting to achieve through obviously attacking Iran? And that is...
And Trump has given them a deadline. Democrats continue to fight against voter ID, as you well know, claiming it will disenfranchise legitimate American voters. That's a lie. That is a lie. And when you listen to Connecticut Senator Murphy, he admits who the Democrats are really concerned about.
The negotiation didn't have a path to citizenship. It was entirely on their terms in order to get Ukraine funding, right?
Well, I mean, Chris, that's been a failed play for 20 years. So right. You are right that that has been the Democratic strategy for 30 years, maybe. And it has failed to deliver for the people we care about most, the undocumented Americans that are in this country.
Wait a minute. Who did you say you care about most? I want to hear Senator Murphy again say who we care about the most.
Strategy for 30 years, maybe, and it has failed to deliver for the people we care about most, the undocumented Americans that are in this country.
You said it. We care most about the undocumented Americans in this country. They're not Americans. They're illegals. That's the whole push of the leftist. Oh, in New Jersey, Congressman Cory Booker also spoke, maybe saying words that he should have kept his mouth shut.
Trump's usual bluster. He has again made this grand statement. I'm not going to sign any bill that comes to me unless the SAVE Act comes to me first. The SAVE Act is a massive voter suppression bill that would make it very difficult for millions of Americans, especially women who have changed their name on their birth certificate no longer matches the name on their real ID or driver's license. It would cause chaos to voting and really shrink the voting rolls 5 or 10%, given the effect it would have. I was talking to a retired, very moderate senator yesterday. We were both laughing. Democrats should just be quiet and let somebody like Lisa Murkowski, who did a big chart, big state of Alaska, she put up in her speech and just showed what the SAVE Act would do to voters, making them have to hop on planes, fly across her state, which is pretty vast, just to be able to present identification at the right place. We do not need voter suppression in the United States of America, and we do not need another scheme from Donald Trump, who's still litigating his 2020 loss, another scheme by him that would make it more difficult for American citizens to vote at the polls.
And again, we're not talking about American citizens. If you are an American citizen, you have a right to vote, but you have to prove that you are. So they're saying, well, to get a voter ID, you got to prove you're an American. Yes, yes, you do. If you're going to have a passport, you got to prove you're an American citizen. If you're going to get an ID to get on a plane, you had to prove you're an American citizen before you get the permission to get on the plane. If you're going to drive a car, to get a driver's license. Well, in some states, you don't have to do that. In the second hour, there's something else the Democrats have done that I'm going to spend more time on. There was an 18-year-old Loyola University student simply walking with her friends in the park yesterday morning. They wanted to catch a glimpse of the northern lights. An illegal alien approached her with a gun. She tried to run, and he shot and killed her. Now, I'm going to spend more time on that story in the next hour. And the key point, aside from the tragedy of this young woman being killed, Democrats want to tell you, oh, she was in the wrong place at the wrong time. It's her fault she got shot. Really? Yes, really. They are so far out of touch. I tell you what, I'm going to include that in our next segment coming up after we also talk about the LaGuardia crash and more details on that. And before the end of the hour, the story behind the story, the massacre on a U.S. base. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Another day, must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold remediation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Finally, March, the season of fresh starts, more daylight, more energy. A perfect time to take a fresh look at your home. Your windows or doors are outdated and inefficient? Check with Renewal by Anderson. From your first design consultation through final installation, every detail is handled by one experienced, dedicated team. Clear communication, precise craftsmanship. Renewal by Anderson windows built with our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl. And right now, during our March savings event, take $400 off every window, $800 off every door, and get a free upgrade to Smart Sun Glass. No money down, no payments, no interest for 12 months. But this ends March 31st. Call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS, or visit rbastl.com. rbastl.com. Superior products, exceptional service. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Truck 1 and Company, LaGuardia Tower.
Truck 1 and Company.
Truck 1 and Company, LaGuardia Tower, requesting to cross 4 at Delta.
Truck 1 and Company, cross 4 at Delta.
Truck 1 and Company, crossing 4 at Delta.
Frontier 4195, just stop there, please. Stop, 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 Truck 1, stop, stop, stop. Sorry, Truck 1. Stop, Truck 1. Stop. Stop, Truck 1. Stop.
4195, we're staying here.
It was too late, really, for them to stop. That's some of the radio transmission between the tower at LaGuardia Airport and the pilots on board. Of course, they've already been talking to the tower about permission to land. And then the firefighters on board one of the fire trucks wanting to cross a runway. They were looking for permission to make sure we can cross. They were going to an incident on another runway where an airplane had landed, a commercial liner, and they were reporting noxious fumes. They weren't sure what the fire was, if there was a fire, but they needed to get there to help them as well. The black box has been recovered, and of course that includes the entire cockpit voice recorder and the flight data recorder that will give specifics on the speed and what was happening. Now, normally a commercial jet, depending on the size, the length of the runway, weather conditions, how heavy it is at the time, will be approaching and landing anywhere from 130 to 160 miles an hour. I'm not a safety transportation board expert. I'm not even, I would say, an expert pilot. I simply have a pilot's license. But I'll give you a rundown of what happens on something like this. Even as a pilot of a private plane, if I need to cross a runway that I know might be active before I can get to the runway I need to use, I need to request permission. You hold short. You do not proceed until you're given the runway clearance to go. And then I would often read it back, free to go, and they would repeat it. Then I would move across. But I'm still looking both ways. I'm not taking them simply at their word. That's not to say I question them, but just in case another plane is coming in that had not declared its intention. The pilots are coming in at a speed, as I said, probably at least 130 miles per hour. I saw a video shot from a distance of the collision, probably from an airport camera. It's not clear yet. Everything looked kind of slick and wet. I don't know if it was or wasn't, but there were a lot of reflections off the asphalt. To me, that indicates that it was coming in on wet conditions, which is, again, going to impede any possible landing. Now, what was involved with the truck crew when they're requesting permission to cross? And they were given permission to cross. There are reports that one of the fire truck drivers, possibly, or one on the crew, was his first night on the job. Don't know if that had any bearing. But you don't cross a runway without double checking. If this plane happened to be a mile out at that time and you're given permission, you see the lights, or you should, I would hold short. I'm not trying to criticize these young men. They lost their lives, and they're getting a lot of praise from the passengers on board, saying that they probably gave their lives to save us. One passenger praising the pilots for bravery and courage and saved our lives. It is true, by holding it straight and going on down the runway, and I don't know if they had any option, they were braking immediately, but they couldn't stop. The landing was rough. The plane jolted when it hit. The pilot braked immediately. And then there was a large boom. And that is when it impacted with the fire truck. It's a tragedy, however you look at it. And yes, it will come down to probably personal human actions. It will be hard to blame the pilots on the plane in any case, because they had permission. The runway was supposed to be clear. Probably the focus is going to be back on the air controller, that he gave permission knowing the jet was approaching. Maybe he thought there would be time for them to do it. And maybe the truck crew did see the plane coming, and they thought they could. Or maybe they never looked. Maybe they were so concerned about the plane they needed to get to on the other side of the airport. And when you do that, you open up all kinds of possibility of tragedy. The units that were following Truck 1 witnessed the tragic collision. And one of them said, the members of those units immediately went into rescue operations, evacuating the passengers, securing their safety, while not knowing if their fellow officers in Truck 1 were dead or alive. Those on board that Truck 1 will make a complete recovery, it appears. And some of those 72 passengers were severely injured, but the only two deaths were the pilots. All right, I told you I want to go back to Chicago and the murder of a young Loyola student. She decided that she wanted to walk with some friends around the park in Chicago, around the lake. And I heard Governor Pritzker today, hey, I'm out here at 6:30 in the morning. It's a beautiful place. There's no reason to be afraid. Do you dare think the governor is out there walking the park by himself at 6:30 in the morning? And at 6:30 in the morning now, it's light. But no, there were photographers or camera with him, probably. His press corps, probably. But certainly security agents. This young 18-year-old Loyola University student just wanted to go out and take a glimpse at the northern lights. And she ran into an illegal alien. And he opened fire on her. and a Chicago alderwoman says basically maybe the victim is to blame.
All the time, right? And they go out on the pier, they walk around. So the kids were out doing normal things people do in the neighborhood. And it sounds like this might have been a wrong place, wrong time, running into a person who had a gun. They might have startled this person at the end of the pier unintentionally.
You startled the man with a gun.
Why?
They want to blame the 18-year-old for her death when she was just walking around to see the lights. The man charged with killing her is here illegally. He had been apprehended at the border back on May 9, 2023, but under the Biden administration was set free. And upon his illegal entry, he should have faced immediate deportation. But no, they weren't going to be doing that at that point, remember? And there's another issue with this same guy. After he got allowed inside the interior of our country, he later got arrested for child endangerment in New York City, basically preying on a child. These guys that they come in under the Joe Biden open border policy should not be here. That young woman who simply wanted to go for a walk around the park, the lake at Chicago, would be alive if he weren't here. Could someone else have been on the pier and shot her? Yes. But not this guy. And the audacity of the Chicago alderwoman suggests, well, she was in the wrong place at the wrong time. She startled a man with a gun. She startled an illegal with a gun who was here because Joe Biden and his policy had allowed him to stay. Should have been deported 2 weeks after his, up to 6 weeks anyway, after his illegal entry. But Chicago has a welcoming city ordinance not allowing police or anyone else to investigate someone's immigration situation. They are a sanctuary city and a sanctuary state. Not for Americans and to protect them, provide a safe sanctuary for them, but for illegals. Do not forget that. Do not forget that. Coming up, the story behind the story, the deadliest massacre on a Texas military base.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta, but you just visit the website NapoliSTL.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. Finally, March, the season of fresh starts, more daylight, more energy. A perfect time to take a fresh look at your home. Your windows or doors are outdated and inefficient? Check with Renewal by Anderson. From your first design consultation through final installation, every detail is handled by one experienced, dedicated team. Clear communication, precise craftsmanship. Renewal by Anderson windows built with our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl. And right now, during our March savings event, take $400 off every window, $800 off every door, and get a free upgrade to Smart Sun Glass. No money down, no payments, no interest for 12 months. But this ends March 31st. Call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS, or visit rbastl.com. rbastl.com. Superior products, exceptional service. When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com.
This is News Talk STL.
You should have closed your windows and got another dog. You should have chained up all the doors and switched up all the locks.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
Chaos at Fort Hood in Central Texas. A quiet autumn afternoon shattered by gunfire after an Army major turned on his fellow soldiers, killing 13 and wounding 30 others. 39-year-old Nidal Malik Hassan, an Army psychiatrist, opened fire with his semi-automatic pistol at a Fort Hood processing center. Soldiers who were about to be deployed overseas or had just returned from deployment were inside. According to investigators, Hassan fired for 10 minutes before a police officer shot him. In the aftermath of the massacre, a Pentagon review found Hassan's superiors had continued to promote him, even though some raised concerns that he had become a radical Islamic extremist.
That key, a radical Islamic extremist, they'd already had suspicions, and they did nothing really. And, of course, keep in mind, at that point, he was considered to be himself to be a psychoanalyst, psychotherapist. And they thought, well, surely the guy has control of himself. When he decided he wanted to join the military, he did it maybe at a time that he was not radicalized. But somewhere along the line, he was. And then came that date in Fort Hood. And one of the soldiers killed during that 2009 shooting rampage was a young 21-year-old private. She was crying out for her unborn child while she was shot as he roamed through the crowded medical center in that Central Texas Army post. Fort Hood is about 150 miles to the northwest of San Antonio, closer to Austin. And back to the history of the attacker.
Hassan was commissioned as an officer in the Army Medical Department in 1997 and entered the Uniformed Services University of the Health Sciences in Bethesda, Maryland. Hassan became a psychiatrist, but was rated as a mediocre officer in his evaluations. He also openly displayed his pro-Islamic feelings, such as when Hassan made a presentation titled "The Quranic Worldview as it Relates to Muslims in the U.S. Military" at Walter Reed Army Medical Center, where he stated that the U.S. Department of Defense should allow Muslim soldiers the option of being released as conscientious objectors to increase troop morale and decrease adverse events. He also stated that these adverse events could be refusal to deploy, espionage, or even the killing of fellow soldiers. Hassan said that, according to the Quran, non-believers would be sent to hell, decapitated, set on fire, and have burning oil poured down their throats, and he justified suicide bombings.
Justification for everything you just heard under his view of the Islamic Quran. And they were aware of that. And they continued to let him stay on base and hold his position as a major general dealing with psychiatric issues. There was a guy who had psychiatric issues, and they were not doing anything about it. What does it take? Well, there were a lot of things that could have been done, but they did nothing until the day that he actually opened fire. And yet, as they looked back, they found in retracing his background numerous emails that proved he was radicalized.
In one email, Hassan wrote, "I can't wait to join you in the afterlife." Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaffer, a military analyst at the Center for Advanced Defense Studies, suggested that Hassan was either offering himself up or had already crossed that line in his own mind. But for some reason, these did not raise any red flags, and there were no warnings given to the military. The Army was informed of these events, but the emails were believed to be consistent with Hassan's research about Muslims in the military as part of his master's research in disaster and preventative psychiatry. The information was reviewed by one of its Defense Criminal Investigative Service members through the FBI, but it still was ignored. Department of Defense stated that they were not notified of such investigations before the shootings, so the investigation was dropped.
Why? Why, when you see that, you don't refer it to someone else for closer examination? That news report was based upon the information they had, but they didn't have the specifics of the information or the emails. Those who were above Hassan at that point, and were many of them already aware of his comments on his emails, they did nothing. They thought, oh, well, it's just got to be part of his research. When he's already talked about it's fine to carry out suicide, kill others, pour burning oil down their throats. All of this in talking to other Islamists. And yet, because this took place on a military base under the Obama administration, they did not want to call it a terrorist action.
What we do know is that a number of American soldiers have been killed, and even more have been wounded in a horrific outburst of violence. My immediate thoughts and prayers are with the wounded and with the families of the fallen and with those who live and serve at Fort Hood. Now, these are men and women who have made the selfless and courageous decision to risk and at times give their lives to protect the rest of us on a daily basis. It's difficult enough when we lose these brave Americans in battles overseas. It is horrifying that they should come under fire at an Army base on American soil.
And it's horrifying that a president would not call it out for what it is, an act of terror. This wasn't just a man who went crazy with a gun. And there was a case that came later to Fort Hood that did, quote, involve maybe a crazed man. No actual linkage to jihadist or anything else. But here was everything laid out. Obama had to know it. And with his department, they were able to say, you can't really get into criticizing Muslims over this. Don't make this a hate crime, a jihadist act. But we can praise those who died and were wounded, as if that would make everything right. There was an heroic effort to stop the slaughter that day, so there is more to the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them, and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
What happened here yesterday happened fast. On an ordinary November afternoon, the post became a combat zone.
So people started screaming from outside the theater, coming inside.
What were they screaming?
There's shooting going on outside, and one guy came in, and he had gotten shot in the back.
Specialist Elliot Valdez is an Army journalist. He was getting ready to film a graduation ceremony when the rampage began in a building nearby. Valdez grabbed his camera and ran to the building, a processing center for soldiers preparing to deploy overseas, and he kept filming. What he saw staggered him.
When I was moving this scene here on Fort Hood, honestly, I was thinking this is like Iraq, going in there with my camera, with just craziness, people yelling, bumping into you just all around, trying to get out of the way because nobody knew what was going on.
What was going on was a massacre.
That's when I turned and ran out the building. Shooting towards me.
Specialist Mark Kest Smith was inside the processing center when he and other witnesses say Major Nidal Malik Hassan opened fire. Hassan was carrying two handguns, a 5.7-millimeter pistol and a .357 Magnum revolver. Inside the processing center, Specialist Smith, like so many others, risked his own life. He moved in to help, pulling people to safety even as Hassan turned towards him.
I went back in the building and looking for more people that was in the building, which I didn't see. And when I turned to run, that's when I started hearing rounds going past my body hitting the wall.
Smith was lucky. A ricochet hit his boot, but did not wound him.
It's a round hole. Well, one of the rounds went in my boot.
So it went through both sides?
No, it just went in and it was lodged in my boot.
Others were not so lucky.
No, they weren't. And before he had started shooting, he started shouting, Allah Akbar. There again is clear indication it's a terrorist action carried out by a radicalized Islamist, but was ignored by the mainstream media and, of course, the White House under Obama at the time. And the heroism of those inside the building as he went around shooting, spraying bullets in a fan-like motion, then taking aim at individual soldiers. One Army Reserve captain tried to stop him by charging him, but was killed before he got to him. A civilian physician assistant tried to hit him with a chair, but he was shot and killed. Another threw a folding table at him. Those are nothing compared to a weapon in the hands of a killer. The shooting was going on for almost 10 minutes. MPs were rushing into the area, and on the base, civilian police sergeant Kimberly Munley rushed into the area and into the killing zone and came face to face with Hassan.
Just then, about 3 minutes after the first 911 calls, Fort Hood police officer Kimberly Munley arrived at the scene after rushing from a nearby gas station. Chuck Medley is her boss, the director of emergency services on post.
She responded to the scene, saw some injured and scared people trying to move out of the area. She got some information either through sight or sound that the suspect was between a set of buildings.
Then came an astonishing showdown. Munley rounded a corner of the building and confronted Hassan, who was firing at a wounded soldier. She opened fire on Hassan. He spun towards her and shot back. The two exchanged fire, both of them going down. Sergeant Mark Todd then fired one more round at Hassan, finally stopping the rampage.
He went down, and she eliminated the threat. She did what she was trained to do. This protocol of active shooter to move in and eliminate that threat immediately requires courage and skill. She's a highly skilled police officer. She's a member of our special reaction team, which is our SWAT team here on Fort Hood.
She's a hero.
Yes, sir. She's a hero.
She is a hero. Hassan was shot, paralyzed from the waist down. That really breaks my heart. He's still alive. He's on death row in federal prison. But that was all the way back in 2009, and he's still breathing air. He did find some civilians inside the base area, or at least they were dressed as civilians, so he didn't know if they were military or not. He even pointed the gun at them, but did not shoot any of them. He was out to get soldiers. Two things. Here we have a military base, and the only weapons being carried and allowed on the base were either the civilian police that were there and the MPs. If just one person was authorized in a billet or an office to carry a weapon, that could have neutralized him a lot sooner. In the end, he fatally killed 13, injured 30 others. That was 2009. Same base, April 2014. An Army sergeant opened fire at the exact same facility, killing three soldiers, wounding 12 others before committing suicide. That case, they say he was just a mental case, not an Islamic terrorist. The tragedy of all of it happening on a military base. We'll have another story behind the story for you tomorrow. And of course, we expect you to be here for us. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Beal. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Finally, March, the season of fresh starts, more daylight, more energy. A perfect time to take a fresh look at your home. Your windows or doors are outdated and efficient? Check with Renewal by Anderson. From your first design consultation through final installation, every detail is handled by one experienced, dedicated team. Clear communication, precise craftsmanship. Renewal by Anderson windows built with our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl. And right now, during our March savings event, take $400 off every window, $800 off every door, and get a free upgrade to Smart Sun Glass. No money down, no payments, no interest for 12 months. But this ends March 31st. Call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS, or visit rbastl.com. rbastl.com. Superior products, exceptional service. Let's be candid, honest. No out-of-state law firm can represent you better than Under Law. O-N-D-E-R. Hometown roots, attorneys living right here with you and your family. When you suffer an injury because someone else was negligent, Under Law will make sure the other party takes full responsibility. You'll get full compensation, not a backroom deal worked out with some insurance companies. And of course, we're moving into the stormy season. And again, when you have a legitimate claim, you should be properly compensated. Under Law does not toy around with adjusters, investigators, lawyers trained to cheat you of what is rightfully yours. Under Law has already recovered millions for families across Missouri and Illinois. Under wins. Not just a catchy phrase, it's a fact. So I'll repeat it. Under wins. Underlaw.com. O-N-D-E-R. Underlaw.com. Wins.
This is News Talk STL.